Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, June 15th, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Rachel Dolezal resigns as head of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP as the city launches a new investigation into her honesty. Moscow floodplain ordinance will be updated this summer. Washington cannabis bill stalls in the Senate. And Judge Brody denies petition to withdraw a manslaughter plea by Silas Parks of Moscow. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Rachel Dolezal, who has portrayed herself as black since at least 2008, but whose mother revealed as white last week, has resigned as president of the Spokane chapter of the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People. Dolezal sent a letter to the executive committee this morning, and chapter vice president Naima Quarles Burnley will take over as president. Dolezal wrote in her resignation letter, "I'm consistently committed to empowering marginalized voices and believe that many individuals have been heard in the last hours and days that would not otherwise have had a platform to weigh in on this important discussion. I am delighted that so many organizations and individuals have supported and collaborated with the Spokane NAACP under my leadership to grow this branch into one of the healthiest in the nation in 5 short months. The resignation comes after 3 days of controversy since the story that Dolezal had masqueraded as a black person went viral. The Coeur d'Alene Press broke the story Thursday in a story that included an interview with Dolezal's mother, Ruthann Dolezal, of rural northwestern Montana. Ruthann Dolezal provided a copy of Rachel's birth certificate and photos of her with blonde hair and blue eyes as a child and adult. Also today, The Inlander, a free weekly based in Spokane, where Dolezal was a freelance columnist who frequently wrote about race, announced it has severed ties with Dolezal. In another development today, Spokane Mayor David Condon and City Council President Ben Stuckert asked the city's ethics committee to open an investigation into whether Dolezal lied on her application form for her volunteer position on the Police Ombudsman Commission, on which she is currently holding the chair position. Condon and Stuckert released a joint statement saying, "Much has been made about ethnicity, but our concerns are focused squarely on the expectation that our volunteers adhere to the standards of truthfulness, transparency, and integrity they agree to when they apply for and join a board or commission." Over the weekend, a Spokane Police Ombudsman Commissioner told the Spokesman Review, "Officials at Spokane City Hall are investigating some aspects of Rachel Dolezal's work as chair of the Office of Police Ombudsman Commission." Commission member Kevin Burkampas told the Spokesman Review, "There is an open investigation. I have not seen the investigation or the complaint. They have not told us who it was from." Burkampas said the investigation started about a month ago and he cannot discuss it. Also today, Eastern Washington University spokesperson Dave Meany told the Spokesman Review website Dolezal is no longer employed as a part-time instructor in the Africana Studies Department, although that is considered routine because Dolezal was hired on a quarter-by-quarter basis and the spring quarter ended Friday. Meany said it's up to the Africana Education Program whether to hire Dolezal for another quarterly contract period in the fall. Dolezal had taught at EWU since 2010. Previously, National NAACP spokesperson Michelle Neely had expressed support for Dolezal, saying in a statement Friday, One's racial identity is not a qualifying criteria or disqualifying standard for NAACP leadership. For 106 years, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People has held a long and proud tradition of receiving support from people of all faiths, races, colors, and creeds. NAACP Spokane, Washington branch President Rachel Dolezal is enduring a legal issue with her family, and we respect her privacy in this matter. Local Spokane NAACP chapter members have been mixed in their response to the controversy, with some noting Dolezal's longtime advocacy for racial diversity, while others questioned her integrity. Dolezal has reported numerous hate crimes against her and her family in Spokane and when she lived in Coeur d'Alene, including hate mail and racist graffiti. Investigations into the various incidents have been inconclusive. There was an online petition calling for Dolezal's resignation as president of the local NAACP chapter started this weekend. Former chapter vice president Charles Thornton said via email to members, "It is difficult for me to believe anything Rachel Dolezal says. She has completely lost the trust I had in her. The lies she told to me go deeper than I could imagine. Rachel Dolezal needs to resign." Second District Judge Jeff Broody denied motions from a Moscow man convicted of voluntary manslaughter to be allowed to withdraw his guilty pleas. In a written order late last week, Broody wrote the guilty pleas from Silas B. Parks should not be withdrawn because he found the court had addressed, quote, genuine issues of material fact. Prosecutors had initially charged Parks with two counts of first-degree murder for suffocating his wife, Sarah Parks, and killing his unborn daughter in the process, and then setting fire to their Moscow duplex. Parks alleged his attorneys at the time, Charles E. Kovas and D. Ray Barker of Moscow, had given him ineffective counsel because they had not adequately investigated the cause of Sarah Parks' death. Parks' new attorneys had stated Parks could have smothered his wife while acting in a dream state. New attorney Thomas Whitney of Moscow said Parks would not have entered into an agreement to plead guilty to voluntary manslaughter if he had known at the time he could have challenged so many aspects of the declared cause of death. Moscow City Planner Mike Ray says city staff will likely finish writing a revision of the city's floodplain ordinance by the end of the month. Ray told the Daily News the Idaho Department of Water Resources reviewed the city's 11-year-old floodplain ordinance this year and have suggested ways the ordinance could be brought in line with federal standards and make more homeowners eligible for 15% discounts in required flood insurance. Federal law requires those who own dwellings within floodplains to carry flood insurance. New construction on the University of Idaho campus redirecting Paradise Creek has reduced the designated floodway on campus and allowed the Student Recreation Center to be built on Line Street. University of Idaho Architectural and Engineering Services Director Raymond Pankoff told the paper the excavation work also allowed lots on Almond and Asbury Streets to be removed from the 100-year floodplain. The Troy School Board came up with a plan late last week to eliminate positions if school district residents fail to pass an operations levy in August. Voters in the district voted down a $1.3 million operations levy in March and a $1.2 million operations levy last month. Most extracurricular activities would be ended this year, meaning less students may enroll, further reducing funds because state funding is based on enrollment. The Troy School District has 290 students for a district that has a population of about 900 people. Superintendent Christy Castro said the school will have to eliminate 8 full-time equivalent positions, reducing hours for some employees, as well as cutting $100,000 in the school district's supplies budget to reach an operating budget of $3.4 million. if a new levy cannot be passed. The plan includes cutting two elementary school teaching full-time equivalent positions, one position in junior and senior high business education, one English teacher position, one position in agriculture ed, and one position in social studies and English, and half a position in English. Partial position cuts could be made in custodial staff, librarians, kitchen staff, and bus driver positions. Moscow residents have reported 15 vehicle prowls over a four-block area south of Mountain View Park over the weekend. Another seven vehicle prowls were reported elsewhere in the city. Moscow police say all of the affected vehicles were left unlocked. Republican Representative Joe Schmick of Colfax says a recreational cannabis bill will likely be part of budget negotiations as the Washington legislature moves to wrap up its special legislative session before the start of the next fiscal year, July 1st. A bill that has already passed in the House that allows the distribution of as much as $20 million in marijuana excise tax revenue to cities and counties has stalled in the Senate. The bill also requires a public vote for a city or county to ban cannabis businesses within their jurisdictions. Schmick told the Lewiston Tribune, "I think it will definitely be part of the final budget negotiations, but there's no clear consensus yet. There's a wide disparity in the Senate on how the money should be spent. The House also put some money towards prevention and education. The Senate didn't, but they're going to have to bend on that. We absolutely have to have that." The Washington Association of Counties and the Washington Association of Cities have proposed some of the excise tax money be sent to all cities and counties, whether they have marijuana businesses or not, because the effects of cannabis legalization are statewide. The bill before the Senate, as currently written, would only allow tax revenue from the sale of pot to go to jurisdictions where cannabis businesses are legal under local laws, although much of the excise taxes would still go to the state. Judges have ruled that counties and cities can ban cannabis businesses in Washington, but only through zoning code. Second District Judge Jeff Brody sentenced 21-year-old Nathan Paris to 5 to 15 years in prison Friday for the statutory rape of a 14-year-old girl 2 years ago when he was 19. According to an account of the sentencing in the Daily News, Brody said he will retain jurisdiction in the case, in part because Paris has been treated in a month-long inpatient treatment program and 3-month outpatient program for alcohol dependency, which he passed. While in prison, Paris will have to undergo an Idaho Department of Correction sex offender treatment program. After that, Brody can decide whether Paris will continue with the rest of his sentence or be released on probation. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Friday overturned a lower court ruling that ordered the Bureau of Land Management to increase logging in southern Oregon. The appeals court ruled timber companies who sued failed to show evidence they suffered harm from the reduced logging levels on the BLM land in southern Oregon and therefore had no standing to sue under the 1937 ONC Act. Earth Justice attorney Kristen Boyles released a statement saying the appellate court today threw out an unprecedented, unworkable, and backwards decision that could have forced the Bureau of Land Management to violate its duties to manage these lands for water, air, wildlife, and people, not just clear cuts. Washington is appealing a portion of a federal ruling that requires mental health evaluations for defendants within 7 days of a judge's order. State health officials say 7 days is not enough to accurately ascertain the level of competency of defendants, especially those under the influence of drugs or alcohol. They say defendants are often sent away for treatment before their mental state can be fully verified. The appeal is in response to a federal ruling in favor of plaintiffs who claimed they had to wait weeks or months within the penal system before receiving appropriate care. The ruling, issued in April, gave a 9-month deadline for the state to allocate funding and implement the necessary infrastructural changes within its mental health system. Nez Perce County deputies arrested 51-year-old Russell McCormick Friday on warrants for a probation violation and driving without privileges. A press release from Nez Perce Tribal Police says McCormick is wanted for questioning in the circumstances surrounding the death of 18-year-old Ambrose Smartlewit of Lapway Tuesday last week. McCormick was Smartlewit's supervisor at a Boyer Farms work crew near Garden Gulch and released from his work when he complained of feeling poorly. Smartlewit was found dead of heat stroke near the work site on Wednesday. The Moscow City Council tonight will consider a request from Bootser's Coffee Shop to have a beer and wine garden in the public right-of-way of Main Street on Friday, June 26th. It would be the first beer and wine garden in the public right-of-way in the city. The council had previously approved a permit for Bootser's to do such an event May 15th, but it was rained out. Last week, the council's Public Works Committee recommended beer and wine sales be limited to between 7 and 10 p.m. during the event, and the city require Bootser's to pay for two Moscow police officers to be on hand during that time. Those stipulations were also in the beer and wine garden permit approved for May 15th. City staff has already approved a street closure for the event Friday, June 26th. From 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., Main Street would be closed between 1st and 3rd Streets. Also on tonight's City Council meeting agenda is approval of an ordinance allowing the implementation of a new citywide records management system, which would allow digital media formats that meet certain standards as a cost-effective method of record retention. The consent agenda includes an item to accept the low bid of $225,000 from Planned and Engineered Technologies, LLC, to rehabilitate 8 and 18-inch sewer pipes using a cured-in-place method. Tonight's Moscow City Council meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, there'll be mostly sunny days and partly cloudy nights for the rest of the week. Tonight's low 50, tomorrow's high 84, Wednesday 83, 78 will be the high on Thursday, and expected highs around 73 Friday and Saturday night, or Friday and Saturday during the day, rather, and nighttime lows around 50, getting down to around 43 Friday night. Currently, fair skies, 78 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next is Eat the Airwaves, news and views from the West Side, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. That'll be followed live in the studio by Climate Justice Forum, hosted by Helen Yost. I'm Lee Robartis, and Scott Jackson assisted with tonight's newscast. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear every day on Morning Mix, the public affairs and the recordings of the local events, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial.